Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Bonsoir à tous. Bonsoir Ségolène Royal.
Bonsoir Nicolas Sarkozy. Bonsoir.
Bonsoir. Bon matin, maybe more appropriately. But while Americans have their minds on a campaign for an election happening 18 months from now, the first Republican debate takes place tonight. The French will choose their president this weekend. The two contenders just held their one and only debate last night, and the choices between the decidedly socialist, at least in the European sense, Ségolène Royal, or the more conservative Nicolas Sarkozy. While Sarkozy is leading in the polls, the race is tight, and the outcome will shape the future, perhaps, of the EU and European integration, not just internal issues in France, and could even determine relations with the United States, which have been fractured in recent years. So with me now for a look at the French presidential election and what it might mean for other European countries and the U.S. as well are an American in Paris and a Parisian in New York. Christopher Dickey, Paris bureau chief for Newsweek magazine, is there. And Pascal Richard, editor-in-chief of the U.S.-based France Amérique, is here. Welcome back to WNYC. Hello.
Thank you for having me here.
So the candidates have been whittled down to these two after a runoff 2 weeks ago, or a first round, I should say, 2 weeks ago. Pascal Richard, for Americans not following this very closely, is it a simple choice between left and right?
I think it is a choice between left and right, and the two candidates showed it yesterday during the debate. They had a chance, one last chance, before the election on Sunday to restate their policy, and that's what they did. And I think we saw that Ségolène was on the left and Nicolas Sarkozy was on the right.
How, for example, Chris Dickey, in the French context?
Well, basically, there's two completely different conceptions of the way the country and especially the economy ought to work. Ségolène Royal comes across, I know this is going to sound strange, but she comes across not only as being to the left, but being kind of motherly and protective, which is what the left is generally. It wants people to have social justice. It emphasizes what we would say is a welfare state, whereas Sarkozy takes a much more sort of, as we would say in America, they don't say it here in France, laissez-faire attitude toward the economy. He wants people to work harder, make more money, pay fewer taxes. It's a kind of a refrain that we've heard mainly from the Republicans, but now from virtually all American politicians for a long time.
I know that Sarkozy, Pascal, has cast himself as more pro-American in this campaign, which has drawn the ire of his opponent. But in the 2 hours and 40 minutes of last night's debate, which by itself is inconceivable in the United States, the U.S. didn't come up once. So how much of a factor is relations with the United States in this campaign, if it is one at all?
Yes, first of all, I want to say it was a very long debate. It lasted 2 hours and a half. I was at the French Institute, a French Alliance, where this Alliance Française, and there were lots of French people watching the debate.
Spectator sport? Were people cheering and drinking and whatever?
Well, there were... they were on both sides, so they didn't fight in the end, but it was interesting to see their reaction. I don't think that Nicolas Sarkozy is so pro-American as has been stated in some ways. In terms of his economy, economic policy, he's not all the way a liberal. Liberalism is limited in a way. I think that he wants less taxes, and he wants maybe... not so many civil servants in France, but it's not all the way. And he wants still social protection, and he wants the French system to be respected.
Well, but the atmospherics are very pro-American. He's gone to the United States several times. He's talked to American groups and said proudly, "People call me Sarkozy the American." And more to the point, in a European context, Sarkozy is very much identified with what Donald Rumsfeld in 2003 was calling the New Europe, the Europe of Aznar in Spain, Berlusconi in Italy, and, of course, Tony Blair in Britain. It's interesting now that Sarkozy, coming very much out of that mold, is likely to take power just as all three of those characters are out of power.
Yeah, but even though he's the candidate on the right, I heard that Democratic presidential candidate here, Barack Obama, made a kind of tacit endorsement saying Sarkozy has a, quote, good opportunity to lead France in the future. I mean, that's a very neutral statement. But did you look into that at all, Chris, what Obama said and what that indicates about either one of them?
Well, I think Obama's hedging his bets, but I also think it's easy for Americans to understand where Sarkozy's coming from. And remember, even the right in France tends to be far to the left of everything in the United States. So it's easy to understand where Sarko's coming from when he talks about the economy, about social protection, about lots of issues. And Ségolène just seems really way out there in left field for the Americans. So I don't think that Barack Obama would want to identify himself with her policies. And I think any American administration is going to have some trouble dealing with her, Democrat or Republican.
Anything on that, Pascal?
I think that both Nicolas Sarkozy and Ségolène Royal are against the intervention of America in Iran, in Iraq. So, you know, on that point, they have the same stand.
Although that slip of the tongue you made may be the more relevant question.
Right. They didn't talk about that too much yesterday. They talked about Europe, and that was interesting. The fact that Nicolas Sarkozy said again that he was very much against the opening of Europe to Turkey, where the Ségolène said she just wanted to have a pause in the enlargement of Europe. I thought that was, you know, the only international policy statement made.
With respect to Iran, I think I've heard they both agree pretty much that there are four sanctions against Iran, but would rule out any kind of military intervention.
Right. They're very much opposed to Iran having nuclear weapons. And Ségolène Royal's position is, in fact, at least on paper, the more hardline position. She opposes any nuclear enrichment activities in Iran. You know, that is one thing they pretty much agree on.
We can open up the phones now, maybe for French expats, anyone else who was at Alliance Française last night with Pascal Richard watching the debate, or anyone else, Francophiles too, following this election. Did you watch last night's debate? Who are you supporting? What's the most important issue for you? Any questions you wanted to ask about France and didn't have anyone to ask before? 212-433-WNYC. 433-9692 for an American in Paris, Christopher Dickey, Paris Bureau Chief for Newsweek, and a Frenchwoman in New York, Pascal Richard, Editor-in-Chief of the U.S.-based France Amérique. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or email brianlehrershow@wnyc.org. Pascal, can we go back to the debate for a minute? The format, from what I read in the papers today, sounds like it was very different from presidential debates we have in this country, that there was a lot of opportunity for them to really interact, to cut each other off, to really kind of go at it one-on-one without a strict format being imposed by the moderator or the network. Is that accurate?
That's for sure. We didn't hear very much about the two journalists who were conducting the debate. I think that it was interesting to see that, for me, I found that it was more like two prime ministers who were debating on very technical issues. They didn't talk, we just said it before, so much about international issues. So that was interesting. The other thing is that, of course, Nicolas Sarkozy has been accused of being very aggressive. And yesterday he was very calm, very quiet, even sometimes shy. And Ségolène Royal, the woman, was a more punchy one. And in a way, I don't think there was any winner in this debate. They both had a chance, as I say, to express their policy again. I think that Ségolène Royal expressed at some points a revolt. That was very interesting. I thought it was a kind of answer to what Nicolas had said Nicolas Sarkozy had said a few days ago, trying to raise the spirit of May 1968. And I think yesterday Ségolène Royal was very
from
much...
From which side?
Well, he said he wanted a different school, the school of Jules Ferry, the man who had created the School for All during the Third Republic in France. And he didn't want... students to stand up when the teacher was coming in the classroom and a different school.
Yeah, it was really
a more conservative protocol. Sorry, Chris, go ahead.
It was really a French kind of neocon thing, just like the neocons hate Vietnam War protesters. Mm-hmm. Sarkozy came out against the protesters of May 68 and said that basically they're responsible for all the moral failings of political and other life in France now. And he made it a morality question and said, you know, if we could just get rid of this May 1968 kind of thinking, then we could really stand up and be proud, and children would obey their teachers in school, and so on and so forth. And, the attitude of the people on the left is, forget it. There were great advances in May of 68 and afterwards, and the whole political class on the left kind of came out of that generation. So they wouldn't stand for it.
Here's a clip from the debate. This is in French. But one of you will kindly translate. We did screen it for any words that can't be said in any language on FCC-regulated airwaves in this country, and there were none. But let's take a listen, just for the tone of this, if nothing else.
Laissez-moi la responsabilité de mes prises de parole, si vous le voulez bien.
Je ne permets pas de critiquer, mais je fais ça.
Okay, so that wasn't much, but that was on Morning Edition today. And Pascal, let me read a transcript. Not of that, but of another part that was transcribed word for word in the New York Times this morning about their tone. She was the sharper one. She was the one who was expressing more revolt, as you said. So after she did so at one point, Sarkozy said, calm down. And Royal said, no, I will not calm down. Do not point at me with this finger, with this, he said. No, yes, she said, with this index finger pointed, because frankly, no, I will not calm down. No, I will not calm down. I will not calm down. To be president, well, then he said, to be president of the republic, you have to be calm. And she said, not when there are injustices. There are angers that are perfectly healthy because they correspond to people's sufferings. There are angers I will have. And then he said, Madame Royale, would you allow me to say one word? How significant was this different in tone and temperament?
I think that it was all very prepared by Ségolène Royal. It's not something that just came up. I think she was trying to convince 7 million voters who are in the center, who voted for Bayrou.
The centrist candidate who was knocked out in the first round.
Right, and it's like 18% of the voters. And actually this morning, this candidate said he wouldn't vote for Nicolas Sarkozy. But so I think Ségolène was very prepared in expressing a revolt, a spirit of revolt. And in this way, she was trying to convince to wake up all the voters who didn't make up their mind yet.
Yeah. But Chris, that might be different from the way things play out in this country. If somebody on the left was trying to court centrist voters who lost their candidate, they probably wouldn't do it with a lot of fire and brimstone about injustice.
No, as I say, the whole tone of the debate is going to be very different in France than it would be in the United States. But I have to say, it was great television. It was riveting for 2 hours, almost 2 hours and 40 minutes. And the fireworks were really quite dramatic. The way it was set up is each candidate has equal time, but that time is marked off on clocks that everybody sees, and it's not I'll take 5 minutes, you take 5 minutes. They balance it out in the end. So, in fact, they're interrupting each other constantly, practically shouting. Sarkozy did not blow up. Everybody thought he would. He didn't. Instead, he tried flirting with Royale and condescending to her, which, of course, made her even more angry. It was really, quite apart from substance, it was quite a show.
We'll continue in a minute. We have another clip. We'll start to take some of your phone calls, and we'll also raise the issue of gender. Chris just said that the male candidate was trying to flirt with a female candidate, and while we're talking about a possible first woman president here in the United States, Ségolène Royal's gender is also a big issue in France, and we'll also get into some of the larger questions of French identity around the Muslim immigrant and descendant of Muslim immigrant population and the ramifications of that for Europe and even the United States. So stay tuned. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We have something new on our webpage. It's our online video picks. Every week we choose five videos from the web, which I anchor in our picks video. This week they include the latest from Park Ridge 47, who made that famous Big Brother attack ad against Hillary Clinton in the style of an Apple computer ad a couple of months ago. Well, his new video calls for Paul Wolfowitz to be fired from the World Bank in the style of The Office. So check out that and our four other online video picks at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. We continue now to talk about the French election, the runoff coming this week to determine president of France and what is at stake for France, for Europe, and for the United States with an American in Paris, Chris Dickey, Paris bureau chief for Newsweek, and a Parisian in New York, Pascal Richard, editor-in-chief of the U.S.-based France Amérique, and with your phone calls at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, and your emails to Brian Lehrer Show at WNYC.org. Stephanie in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Yes, hi. Thanks very much. I wanted to call in because I'm something of a Francophile. I do follow French politics to some degree, check out Le Monde maybe once a week, etc. Mm-hmm. And I have the sense that, and I'd like both of your contributors now to comment if they would, that Ségolène Royal, for me, my impression is that she's something of a caricature. It doesn't have to do so much with her political position as a socialist as something the thing that you read, you know, a lot of screaming and carrying on, and that it seems to me she doesn't seem quite adult, that she seems to be a member of the generation of 68, but who has grown older, but not exactly grown up. And I'd be interested in your
sure. Chris, you want to go first on this?
I don't think that's the way she comes across at all here in France. In fact, if she comes across with any particular image, it's of that of a school teacher almost. She's a little bit stern, a little bit aloof. She seems to be saying to her class at the beginning of rallies, quiet down, and then she waits to see if the class has obeyed her. There's this whole quality to her that's actually very authoritarian in her style, and that people feel when they watch her. She also touches on some important iconographies in France, where there have been a lot of women symbols of the state, although not very many women leaders, whether it's Joan of Arc or Marianne, the symbol of the revolution. In fact, Jean-Marie Le Pen, the extreme rightist candidate, gave a speech the other day in which he called her Marianne d'Arc. So she's pulling on all that. She's not an immature woman, and she's not a frivolous 68er at all, but she is locked into this socialist position, which is very heavy into social protection and social justice, and not very clear about where the money is going to come for any of that. And that's what Sarkozy exploited in the debate last night.
Pascal, what would you say to the caller?
Yes, I agree with what was just said. I think she doesn't look like a child, certainly not. I think that she has to overdo it a little bit because she's a woman, and it's the first time that a woman is running for presidency in France, and so she had to be maybe caricatural in the way she presented herself, like last night, as we said, she had to explode and show a revolt because she wanted to convince people. But I thought last night the interesting thing was, I said last night, but it was really last afternoon in New York, both candidates were extremely professional. I think the level of the debate was quite incredible. They know what they are talking about. And sometimes Ségolène didn't have the right answer on some topics, but sometimes it was Nicolas Sarkozy who didn't have the right answer. But basically, they know what they are talking about, and I thought that was very interesting. I think that Yes, they do have a different vision of society, and obviously Ségolène is really on the left, and she's proposing things like taxation on the revenues from the stock exchange. She wants more dialogue, social dialogue with stronger unions. It's really a different vision of society.
Now, you were telling me off the air that the two candidates have really different visions of society in a way that you don't really get in presidential candidates in this country. Talk about that difference.
Well, I think that, the Ségolène Royal is more protect. She wants to protect France, not only the country, but certain ideas that are important for France, like social protection, like equality, which is, the equality between people with more taxations. And so she's, she wants France to be a different country in the global world, whether Nicolas Sarkozy is more conservative. And so...
Right, but you don't see, you don't see U.S. presidential candidates. You don't see Kerry and Bush as different as Sarkozy and Royal?
No, I think they have real ideologies that are different. I think Ségolène Royal has defended the same ideas for many years. She's married to the head of the Socialist Party. It's all about ideas. And in a way, Nicolas Sarkozy is not so much about ideas, but this man has started doing politics when he was very young. That's all he did all his life. And he's very dedicated to politics and to running for president.
Chris, can you make a comparison between their presidential candidates' differences, level of difference, and ours?
Well, I think what Pascal was saying is right. You have to understand this takes place in a French context that's wildly different than anything we would have in the United States because we have two ideological candidates, but also because the way they address themselves and the way they address the public is really very, very different. Their style, their substance, everything. Let me just read you one passage from the debate last night in one of these moments when Ségolène was blowing up and Sarko was trying to calm her but also playing a game with her. He says, "Madam, you don't need to be disdainful to be brilliant. Voilà." And she says, "I'm not disdainful. I know your techniques. As soon as you are embarrassed, you pose as a victim." And he says, "With you, I would be a consenting victim." And she says, "Good. At least there would be some pleasure." Now, can you imagine that exchange in an American debate? Can you imagine Hillary and McCain having that conversation?
The French sound like a lot more fun, at least in this respect. My guest on WNYC as we preview the French election runoff this weekend, an American in Paris, Christopher Dickey, Paris bureau chief for Newsweek, and a Parisian in New York, Pascal Richard, editor-in-chief of the U.S.-based France Amérique magazine. And here's an email that raises the question of identity, which didn't come up in the debate last night, I understand, but which is, of course, huge for French, for the French, for Europe as a whole, and even for the United States. This says, "I am from the West Indies, and I have friends who are from the French West Indies who live in France. They are legally French, but they feel that while Sarkozy has a very good economic plan, his plan to create a national identity ministry scares them because he does seem to be anti-French African and anti-French West Indian. And I want to ask you guests, what do they both think the candidates will bring to the table to address this feeling of these French citizens who feel pushed to the outskirts of French society?" And Chris, of course, where this finally makes news in the United States is only when it gets to the point of the riots that we saw a couple of years ago.
Sure, you had huge riots in November of 2005 that were the direct result of that problem. And a lot of people think that Sarkozy was fueling those fires by calling the people in those outer city ghettos, the housing projects, scum from the bottom of the barrel. But Sarkozy's position is much more complicated than that. He has tried to do more to give Muslim society a voice, and most of the immigrants most of the North African and African immigrants are Muslims in France. He's tried to give them a voice. He's tried to rationalize immigration. The problem is that he's at the same time, he's been trying to attract the voters of the right-winger Jean-Marie Le Pen, who is often caricatured as if he were almost a Nazi. And he's been quite successful in that. That's why he's got that lead. He took Le Pen's voters away from him. And how did he do it? He did it by, for instance, sponsoring laws that said French school children should be taught about all the good things that French colonials did when they were in Africa and Southeast Asia. You know, that's a kind of a code for we colonials were good and we helped our little brothers, little brown and black brothers, come into the modern world. And, of course, that doesn't sit very well with people who are living here in France now and are French citizens.
That sounds like a formula for extreme division in France if he's elected. Pascal, what do you think?
I think I would like to say that yesterday I was surprised to see that the name of Jacques Chirac, who is a previous president, who is going to leave after this May 6, after 14 years of ruling, was not even mentioned. And the president had so far a very specific policy with Africa. This is going to change, obviously. When it comes to the politics of immigration, I think they were very careful yesterday, and they didn't really get into that. They say, you know, it has to be decided case by case because it's really there is not one solution to the problem.
So it may not have come up in the debate, but on the larger question of French identity and French relations with the African immigrant population, which is really in many cases a French population now because they're the descendants of the immigrants, how different is Royale from what we just heard from Chris about Sarkozy and his position on French identity?
Yeah, well, I don't think you can say that Nicolas Sarkozy is against Africans. That's certainly not true. I mean, it would be a little caricatural. But he wants to limit immigration, that's for sure. And she's more open to more people. And she didn't come up with a real solution. I mean, the problem of integration is obviously a major problem in France, and it's not going to be solved in a debate. I mean, a lot of people are reflecting about this. At the French Alliance, we'll have a debate with a French specialist analyst, Sébastien Rocher, next Monday. I think, you know, we have to hear what the specialists have to say, the researchers have to say, and it will take a little time for France to find its way.
Chris, you wrote about some rappers who are trying to turn disenchantment among young residents in the suburbs, largely Muslim residents, into action at the polls. And we're going to play a clip from a rapper named Dawa, who has a song on a project called Explicit Politique, and we'll get a translation after we hear it. They didn't use the three words that Russell Simmons wants banned from hip hop, did they, Chris?
Well, it seemed to me I might have detected a little bit of that, but you know, basically, it's like any hip hop song. It's going after Sarkozy as somebody that nobody can relate to in the hood.
Pascal, want to do a little more translation of that?
Yeah, I think it's also, you know, he's talking about this rejection of politics, that politicians are not really expressing.
What were some of the words? All right, it went by in a flash.
It did. And it's sometimes very hard to understand. But so that's what he's saying, you know, that basically the politicians are not on the ground, sur le terrain, that's what he said.
Uh-huh.
But at the first tour of this election, I mean, 80% of the people voted. I mean, it was like, huge interest. So that's a big change, I think, in this campaign and in this presidential election, that people maybe, because the contestants are younger, are only in their 50s, are different from previous candidate, maybe people are starting to be more interested in politics, and that would be very interesting.
Karan in East Brunswick, you're on WNYC. Hello. Are you there, Karan? All right, let's try Mark in Chelsea. You're on WNYC. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Brian. I have... first of all, I love your show.
Thank you.
I think it's a great show. Yeah, really. And I always listen to it with a lot of attention. I think, there's two...
Do I gather that you're a French citizen and you have actually
voted? Yeah, actually, I'm an American citizen and French citizen.
Uh-huh.
And it's not necessarily a very good thing to bear all the time because it can be a lot of problems in both countries. But I think, it
must have been fun in 2003 to be a French-American dual citizen. But we'll leave that aside.
I don't throw wine in the gutter. I drink it. No matter what. But
have a nice plate of freedom fries. But seriously, you voted already in this election? Do I understand that?
Yeah, I voted for Bayrou because I believe in centrists. I believe that this problem in France has been going on forever. I mean, we never solve our problems politically, socially.
So you're a one-person focus group because Bayrou, the centrist candidate, was eliminated in the first round. Now who are you for?
No, yeah, I voted for him because I just wanted to make a point.
Okay, sure.
That's all. I mean, I believe that it should be a coalition. I think she has a lot of points in social issues, women, violence against women, social division, and she can help. I think she's absolutely a problem when it's about finance and economy and the future for France, which I actually also contribute to social problems. I think he's not always so diplomatic, but so she's not either. I mean, they both have problems.
Mm-hmm.
I will vote for Sarkozy. Yeah, I will do because I think for me, immigration is a big problem, and the latitude of the left that's been going on with Mitterrand for 21 years has ruined France, and she's just a hair of it. That's her heritage, and there's no way I will let somebody like her go into power. She's not a president. She could be a good minister, social condition. You should give her probably a job, and that contribute to help probably France, but not as a president. No way.
Mark, thank you. Thank you very much. We just have 2 minutes left. I wonder if you would each say, as an American in Paris and a Parisian in New York, what you think is at stake for the United States in this election. Chris?
I think if Sarkozy wins, the United States will have a better relationship with France, at least for the next few years, than it has had for a very long time. I think there's a level of understanding between Sarkozy and sort of the power elite in Washington, a sense that they speak the same language, essentially, about world politics and the world economy. And I think that'll probably be a good thing.
Pascal?
I think that France and America have always been allied, and I think we have to see who is going to be elected in the States, too. That's going to change also the relationship between France and America. So we'll see.
Chris Dickey, Paris Bureau Chief for Newsweek, Pascal Richard, Editor-in-Chief of the U.S.-based France Amérique. Thank you both so much. This has been very insightful. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, we will meet the first Haitian-American elected to city council. Stay with us.